Looks like everybody's quieted down and ready. Good thing. Let's open tonight's service with 442 in your hardbacked hymnal. Let's all stand together. 442. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with Hosanna sing. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Please be seated.
Good evening. Let's open our Bibles together to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Try to bring a message from Psalm 35 tonight on a prayer for justice. A prayer for justice. God's people love justice. They know that without justice, there's no gospel. And in Revelation chapter 19, we have the church gathered together, joining their voices in praise, as we just sang, to the Lord Jesus Christ for His justice. And verse 1, it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rise up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, for ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We'll stop there. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, as we come to this place and to this hour, we're more reminded than ever of our complete dependence upon you to come and to visit us, to speak to our hearts, to open the eyes of our understanding, to reveal to us the glory of thy dear Son, that we might join in with thy Spirit in offering praise and worship. Lord, it is our desire to know thee, and we ask, Lord, that you would enable us now in this hour to put aside those things that would distract us from setting our affections on things above. Lord, we confess to you that we have great distractions in this flesh and in this world. But Lord, in this hour, our need is to know you, to see you, to believe on you, to worship you. Oh, how we pray for your mercy toward that end. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 44 in your spiral, Gospel Hymns Hymnal. Let's all stand together. 44.
Precious Savior, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy Spirit dwell within us with that love that casts out fear. Matchless Savior, let us know thee as the Lord, our righteousness. Cause our hearts to cleave unto thee. Come and with thy presence bless. Open now thy precious treasure. Let thy word here freely flow. Give to us a gracious measure. 'Tis thyself we long to know. Come and claim us as thy portion. Let us all find rest in thee. Leave us not to empty notions. We would find our hope in thee.
Please be seated.
Leave us not empty notions. All our opinions are nothing but empty notions, aren't they? The Lord doesn't speak by his word. We've got nothing to look to. Psalm 35, will you open your Bibles with me there? I've titled this A Prayer for Justice by the Innocent. Only the innocent are interested in justice. The guilty are not interested in justice. Psalm 35 can be clearly seen by the innocent one, the Lord Jesus Christ, calling out to his Father to exercise justice on his behalf. It can also be seen as those who are found in Christ being innocent. We rejoice in justice. Justice is the foundation of the gospel. Men want salvation without condemnation. You can't have it. You can't have it. Someone had to be condemned in order for salvation to be made real. Men want mercy without justice. It's not to be had. The mercy of God can only be known when the justice of God is satisfied. Without the justice of God, there's no gospel. Men want love, a God who loves, without a God who hates. It cannot be. It cannot be. I've known people that say they believe in heaven, but they do not believe in hell. That's not possible. There cannot be one without the other. There cannot be salvation without justice. We do not want God to change his nature and to usurp his justice in any way. Without justice, there's no eternal life. There's no gospel. Without justice, the death of Christ is completely vain. Now, before we get into this text, I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Because some might read Psalm 35 and interpret these words as malicious revenge. It is not malicious revenge. It is holy justice. It's like what we just saw in Revelation chapter 19, when all the saints of glory join their voices together in singing hallelujah to the Lamb for the destruction of his enemies. And we are commanded of the Lord to love our enemies. We're commanded of our Lord to do good unto them that hate us. This is not anything about revenge. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 18, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." This justice is going to be exercised by God, not by man, but by God. And we delight in knowing that there is a God who maintains his justice and in so doing exercises mercy towards those who are in his Son. Look at the next verse. Verse 20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." So the words of Psalm 35, as they relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out to his Father for justice, and as they relate to the child of God, crying out to our God for justice, has nothing to do with revenge. It has everything to do with maintaining the holy character of God and exercising his retribution against that which breaks his law. Without justice, the law doesn't mean anything, does it? How many laws are on the books that are not punished? Those laws are a farce, aren't they? There cannot be law without justice. There cannot be justice without judgment. There cannot be salvation without condemnation. The Lord said, "Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated." You cannot have wrong without right. You cannot have life without death. The prayer for justice by the innocent. Now, when this psalm begins, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me." Who strives with you? Who strives with you? Do we offer this prayer to our Lord? "Lord, plead my cause against those that strive with me." The biggest strife that you have is the same biggest strife that I have, isn't it? It's right within yourself. It's the flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Rebecca, I love this passage. in Genesis, where Rebecca cries out to the Lord, being pregnant with twins, Jacob and Esau, and she says, "Why am I thus? Why do I have this conflict within me?" And the Lord answered her and said, "Because there are two nations in thy womb. Two manner of people are within you. One people is stronger than the other." Now, initially, the Edomites were stronger than the Israelites. And those were the descendants of Esau. And that's how it was to begin with. But as time went on, the Israelites overthrew the Edomites. And is that the way it is with us? Because the Lord said, "The older shall serve the younger," which was just the backwards of how, reverse of how it was supposed to be. Esau was going to serve Jacob. and so it is with our Esau nature, our old man. He serves the new man. It's the rearing of the ugly head of the old man that reminds the new man that he's got to flee to Christ, isn't it? The older really does serve the younger. And in the end, the stronger will be Jacob, will be Israel. Now, we do have some enemies, and they make accusations against us. Satan doesn't have to make up lies in order to accuse us. Generally speaking, a guilty conscience is founded in truth. The law of God speaks against us and shuts our mouths. The scripture says, every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So these are some of our accusers, aren't they? And we pray for justice. Oh, Lord, silence the accusers. Silence the mouth of Satan, who, yes, when he makes accusations against me, they're founded in me. But his accusations aren't for the sake of bringing up my sin. His accusations are for the sake of trying to get me to go back to the law. That's what his accusations are for. What he says when Satan accuses the brethren, what he says about us is true. It's true. But justice says that sin's been put away. It's been satisfied. It no longer charges us. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so, Satan, when we say, "Lord, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me." Believers have this war. They have a war with their flesh. They have a war with the world. What's the scripture say about our flesh? Well, the final enemy is death. And so when we say, "Lord, plead my cause with those who fight against me," there's going to come a day when the Lord's going to exercise his justice against this flesh, isn't it? It's going to they go right back to where it came from. There's going to be a day when Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a day when this world, which is so contrary to everything that we hope for and everything that we believe, and yet our old man is so attracted to it, isn't he? We've got this constant conflict. Plead my cause, Lord. Plead my cause. There's going to be a day when this world will be no more. It'll pass away. That's what the Lord said. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Believers are falsely accused when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to the gospel, we're falsely accused. "Blessed are you when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Lord, plead my cause when men would make accusations against me because of you. The Lord went on to say, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Peter speaks of that in 1 Peter chapter 3 when he says, they will falsely accuse you for your good conversation in Christ. That's what the accusations come for. They come against us, accusing us of being unloving, accusing us of being intolerant, accusing us of being too narrow, proud. You're the only ones. Do you think you're the only ones that are saved? Accuse us of being antinomian, lawless. I heard a man say one time, if I believed what you believed, I'd live like hell. You know, yeah, you would. You would. If you believed grace without the Holy Spirit, if you believed grace without any love for Christ, yeah, that's probably how you would live. But that's what they accuse us of, antinomianism. The early believers were accused of having love feasts when they would meet to have the Lord's table and meet to worship together. And the people made all sorts of lewd accusations about what went on in these meetings that weren't true. They weren't true. The law is for the lawless. And nowhere in the scriptures do we find God using the law to motivate or monitor or in any way direct the lives of his children. We're not under the law. Not under the law. So we cry with the Lord Jesus Christ, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive against me. Lord, restrain this old man. Keep him from being what he would be. Lord, this world, keep me from loving it. Keep me from becoming a part of it. Lord, that the accuser of the brethren, keep me from believing his accusations. The condemnation of the law, Lord, keep me. Plead my cause. Enable me to flee to Christ in all the accusations that are made against me. For they are too strong for me. That's what David goes on. Now, David's writing this psalm, fleeing from Saul. And what a picture it is of not only the believer, but most especially a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that he treated with kindness. David treated Saul kindly, with respect. And Saul turned around against him and abused him. And so David's saying, Lord, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Lord, give me faith. Give me faith. Increase my faith. That's the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the devil. And this word buckler is another defensive weapon. Which basically means the same thing. And so, Lord, be my shield and my buckler. Protect me against those who would come against me. Draw out also the spear, verse 3. What is that? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what are the two things that we have to defend ourselves against our enemy? The same two things the Lord Jesus Christ had to defend himself. Difference is that he had perfect faith, didn't he? And every accusation that came against him, he was able to answer it clearly with the word of God. When Satan accused him and tempted him, he responded right back with what God had to say. And so the shield of faith and the spear, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, are the two means by which the Lord enables us to protect ourselves against our enemies. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. There are so many voices, so many fears, so many conflicting messages that are stirring around in our minds, in our souls, and being hurled at us in this world. Lord, you say unto me that I am thy salvation. I am thy exceeding great reward. Say unto me, Lord, that salvation's of the Lord. Say unto me that you've got this. Say unto me that you've already satisfied justice. That all of this. Verse 4, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Lord, let them fall. Let the accusations of my flesh be exposed for what they are. Let the philosophies and the ways of this world and the ways of man's thinking be exposed to me. Show me the truth. Reveal to me the Lord Jesus Christ. And show me how he has conquered this world. I have overcome the world. Verse 5, let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Oh, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. And though we walk in the flesh, our warfare is not in the flesh. It's not in the flesh. We're not to fight these enemies with the power of our flesh. We fight them by fleeing to Christ. This old man is driving that new man to the Lord Jesus Christ and dependent upon him for all our salvation. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh. Now in Romans it says, they who are of the flesh mind the things of the flesh. In other words, the only thing they're aware of, the only thing they're mindful of is fleshly things. But they which are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that giveth life. And now the Lord's telling us, yeah, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. We don't engage in a fleshly warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What would be a carnal weapon? Well, it'd be a determination, a commitment. You know, just I'll try harder. I'll work harder. I'll do more. I'll read more. I'll learn more. I can conquer this. No. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. These things exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, the weapons of our warfare is not our determination to be more obedient, although we desire that. Oh, we do. We do. But the weapon of this spiritual warfare is looking to his obedience, his perfect obedience, his perfect faithfulness. He satisfied all the demands of God's law. And by the sacrifice of himself, he satisfied divine justice once and for all. And so all these enemies that the Lord has given us in this world, the same enemies that he had, and just like they drove him to the Father, they drive us to Christ. Go back with me to our text in Psalm 35. What a graphic picture. In verse 6, Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. And you see this fearful person trying to escape the angel of the Lord, and he's running through the night and slipping on slippery ground. And that's what the Lord said. Lord, let their way be like that. Let their way be like that. For without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. They hated me without a cause. They said, we're innocent. We're perfectly innocent in Christ. And in Christ, we are able to pray this prayer for God's justice. Lord, we want justice. We want your justice to be exercised. And we believe that his justice is exercised. Verse 8, let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. Don't you love it when David, as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, fighting the battle for all of Israel, defeated Goliath, and then what did he do? He took Goliath's own sword and cut off Goliath's head. And that was the sword that David got from Ahithophel later when he said, there's no sword like that sword. That sword's a picture of the words that Goliath spoke. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. And the Lord's praying now, Lord, let their words fall back on them. You see, if their words don't fall back on them, then our words don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. If there's no judgment, then Christ died in vain. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. You know what you love what David said in Psalm 51? Lord, return unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's his salvation. It's his salvation to give to whomsoever he wills. And so as a mercy beggar looking for the justice of God to be exercised and the sword of his wrath that fell upon Christ on Calvary's cross, we're able to say, Lord, this salvation is your salvation. I'm completely dependent upon you to give it to me. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? Which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. There's our experience. Our enemies are too strong for us. We can't fight them. You can't fight Satan. You can't fight sin. You can't stand up and justify yourself against the law. You can't fight your old man. Weapons of the warfare are not carnal. Lord, these things are too, they spoil me. They destroy me. But who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor? Lord, there's none like you. None like you. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying, well, I didn't know what they were saying. No, he's saying that I wasn't guilty of the things they were accusing me of. I wasn't guilty. And whatever accusations come against us, we can say, in Christ, we're not guilty. We're not guilty. As he is, so are we. We're perfect in him. You see, otherwise these accusations, the accusations are going to drive us to one place or the other. They're either going to drive us to Christ, or they're going to drive us to the law. One way or the other. We're going to try to fix the problem on our own, or we're going to look to him who's stronger than we are. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavenly as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. Now, what David's saying is that when Saul was in trouble, I was there to help him. I was a friend to him. I was kind to him. I provided for him. I was loyal to him. And then he turned on me. The Lord Jesus Christ stood over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have taken you. How good the Lord was towards his people all those generations after generations." And they turned on him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. What hope. What hope. Verse 16. With hypocritical mockers in feast, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long will I look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions. Oh, Lord, rescue me. And that's what the Lord was crying on Calvary's cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, if there be any way this cup can pass from me in the Garden of Gethsemane, let it be. Now, there's three prayers in Psalm 35. We could divide this psalm up into three sections. And the significance of that is that in the Gospels, it makes it clear that the Lord went three times into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. Remember, he told the disciples, "You stay here," and he went off and he prayed and he came back, and they were asleep, and he rebuked them, and he went off and he prayed again. He came back and he said, "Sleep on." He went a third time, he prayed. Three times he went to his Father. Three times he said, "Father, if there be any way this cup can pass from me, let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." How long, Father, will thou look on at me? Isn't that our agony? How long am I going to have to bear this world? How long this old flesh? How long, Lord? Rescue my soul from destruction. Lord, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your darling. And if I'm in him, I'm your darling. And that's my hope. That's my hope. Justice has been served. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Now, that's what we read. This is not the great congregation. Except that when we join our voices together, we're agreeing with the invisible church. But that great congregation is when all of God's elect of all generations are going to gather themselves in heaven and sing, as we just read in Revelation chapter 19. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise. And when they see the smoke go up from the destruction of that harlot of Babylon and all the enemies of God, they're going to sing all the louder, praising him for his justice. Verse 19, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with an eye that hate me without a cause. Lord, if you don't exercise justice against those that hate me, then everything I'm doing is of no consequence. For they speak not peace. They say peace, peace, when there is no peace. They want peace without justice. There cannot be peace without justice. There cannot be life without death. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. They deceive the masses, don't they? Who make thee to differ? What do you have that you did not receive? Why is it that you can see the need for justice, and all the rest of the world wants mercy without justice? They want love without hatred. They want heaven without hell. We do want justice, don't we? Without justice, what Christ did on Calvary's cross was wasted. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, "Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it." We know who he is. If thou be the Son of God, come down. Did they call him Beelzebub? They called him a deceiver, a false prophet. They made all sorts of false accusations against him. They wagged their head. And the Lord Jesus Christ says with his church, "This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silent, O Lord. Be not far from me." Lord, deliver me from their accusations. And what's the child of God say? Deliver me from the accusations that Satan would make against me. Deliver me from the accusations of my own conscience. Deliver me from the accusations of the law through the justice that you have exercised on Calvary's cross. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Now we want justice, and I know we often say we don't want justice, we want mercy. There's no mercy without justice. And the child of God can say, judge me according to thy righteousness. Don't change the standard of your law for me. Satisfy the requirements of your law in the one who died in my stead. Exercise your full judgment and justice. The full letter of the law. That's what we want. We want the letter of the law. If the letter of the law is not fulfilled, then none of this means anything. Let them not say in their hearts, "Ah, so would we have it." Let them not say, "We have swallowed him up. We won." Father, don't let them win. Don't let the liars and the accusers and those who would falsely accuse me win. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. If there's no judgment for the enemies of Christ, then there's no hope of salvation for the friends that he has. This whole book concludes with that passage we read in Revelation chapter 19. That's how it's all going to come to an end. We're going to be joining our voices in heaven with the 24 elders and the four beasts, those four seraphim that hovered over the throne of God. What are we going to be saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Lord, your justice was exercised against all thine enemies. And it was exercised in the wrath of God that fell upon our sin bearer, the sinner substitute on Calvary's cross. There's our justice. We don't want salvation without justice. Verse 27, Let them shout for joy. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. You see, if there's no weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, if there's no judgment from God to the unbeliever, then there's no rejoicing for those who are glad for his righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, who's his servant? Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus Christ is a servant of God. And now what is he saying? He's, God delights in his prosperity. He was prosperous in what he did. When he suffered the full wrath of God's justice on Calvary's cross, the law was fulfilled. The old man was put to death. The world was exposed for what it was. What? Here's the rejoicing of those who magnify the pleasure of his prosperity. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all day long. All day long. David said, I'll speak of thy righteousness, even of thine only. We have no righteousness outside of Christ. But oh, what perfect righteousness we have in him. And that's all we want to speak of his righteousness. His righteousness. And in heaven, there will be nothing but righteousness. Nothing but righteousness. Satan will be chained in the lake of fire. Our old corruptible man will be made incorruptible. The mortal will be made immortal. There'll be no sin. There'll be no accusations. All the enemies will be destroyed once and for all. What a glorious day that'll be. We have to contend with them now. But we contend with them with spiritual warfare, spiritual weapons, not fleshly ones. The spiritual weapons, that's the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the prayer for justice by the innocent. It's the Lord Jesus Christ praying for all of his enemies to get what they deserve. And it's the prayer of every saint who can say, in Christ, I'm innocent. Lord, I want your justice. I want your justice. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to know that you are a God of justice, a God who will not compromise your holiness, and you didn't compromise it when you gave your Son for the sacrifice of our sins. You looked to the prosperity of thy servant, and you had pleasure in him. And Lord, we pray now that you would reveal to our hearts by your Spirit what pleasure you have in all those for whom he died, and give us that assurance of hope in knowing that your justice will be fulfilled in all things. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 290. 290, let's stand together, 290.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hasting on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
Happy birthday, Star. We won't ask which one.